All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. Clown of Thorns, by the way, has been voted out best band name ever. Clown of Thorns. I'm not going to use it. You can. Rick, I know you're not a big Family Guy watcher, but they had some talk radio humor on there where Scotty J was helping make the Sounders, which made no sense and just played on and on forever. Speaking of Scotty J, by the way, I think it's absolutely time that I do this now. I've got the greatest Scotty J photograph ever. In fact, as we speak now, let me log in now. Let me do this. Here's the thing. I mentioned this photograph last night. Scotty was, in fact, let's see here. Let me, and we'll welcome Jim Roop here in just one moment, but let me,
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
I wonder if David Cassidy knows
any idea that he's been immortalized in this soundbite. How are you, Scotty?
I'm doing great. Never felt better.
Oh, that sounds so forced.
Here's the thing. Here's the conversation we had this morning. I came in and I said, "Hey, how are you doing?" You go, "Well, you know, it's an interesting morning." And I said, "Okay." And then, like, you paused me and you went, "It's the worst morning of my life."
Did you and the missus get in a fight from your drinking?
She was a little bit upset, but...
How did you get home last night?
Oh, taxi.
Again with the taxi. How much did it cost? $55?
No, it wasn't bad last night.
How could it cost... Have you moved?
No.
Has your house gotten closer to Dante's?
No.
Different cab company.
Yeah, and the reason why it cost so much before is because...
you were too drunk to give them directions.
You forgot to ask for your change.
217 was being worked on, so you had to go the extra mile. Uh-huh. That's why it cost me.
How much did it cost last night to taxi
like
home?
Like 35.
How many? Oh, Jesus Christ. Did you pay for your own drinks last night?
Yeah.
Interns. And so, how much did you spend on booze last night?
Well, you know, I looked
it's
in
hard
my
to quantify,
yeah, I
Rick.
Looked in my wallet.
There's no way to determine that.
I knew I had 100, and I don't know where it is, so I don't know. Could be part of the taxi, all that good
stuff.
It's
hard to see how you and Mrs. J might have had any sort of a squabble last night.
Did you come stumbling home when your kids are in bed?
Well, the doors were locked, and I didn't happen to have my key at the moment, so that made it even worse.
My life is.
Oh, that's genius.
What do you think you're looking at, sugar?
What happened with Scotty and Mrs. J last night?
Seriously.
Jews. The Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world.
Well, let me clarify this. This is Mel Gibson, not
well,
me.
Sure. What would you like to clarify? All right.
So what time did you end up getting home?
Oh, somewhere around the two zone.
The two!
You mother... I'm going to you.
That's foreplay.
Yeah. So that's what I said to Mrs.
J. So you came home to Mrs. J without your key at 2 o'clock in the morning, pounding on the door, waking up your children.
Knocky, knocky. Guess who's home?
Okay, that's creepy.
I know.
And he was, like, scratching his chest at the same time.
Seriously?
Well, I had an itch. Well,
okay.
Jim is on the phone.
You wanted her to scratch it.
Let's pick up Jim really quick.
Okay, but just real quickly. Well, let's welcome Jim Roop, live from Los Angeles, who joins us now on the Rick Emerson radio program. Jim Roop, how are you, sir?
You guys are too nutty for me, man.
What's that?
You guys are nutty.
We're kooky.
You're kooky.
I just have to ask this of Scotty J, though, again, before we move on. So, now here's the thing, Scotty, is that Sarah left the bar at like
10.
I left around 10:30. You got home at 2.
Well, it takes almost, 40, half hour, 45 minutes to get
home. Okay,
let me
get the bar at 1:30.
Not at 2 in the morning. Not at 2 in the morning, it doesn't. And I mean, here's the thing. Every man's life is his own to lead. I'm just saying that as I left, your life seemed to consist of sitting at a table in the middle of the bar by yourself, sort of just drinking, slumped over.
Yeah.
Oh, it's gold. Good.
Well, that's in his pain. He's obviously lonely.
Okay.
That's not true.
Really?
Did you sleep on the couch last night?
I was just going to say, did you find somebody to drink with later? Did you have a drinking companion later in the night?
There was a pillow wall in the bed that I couldn't cross, so it was...
a Berlin Wall.
That's right.
Wait, stay right here. We'll talk about it. Hi, Jim, how you doing?
Okay.
Dude, it's, man, it's, you got to come up sometime and just spend a week with us.
I'd love to. Yeah. Even just a day would probably wipe me out.
Well, I was going to say, a day with us is sort of like Vegas time sometimes. Oh, man. Well, there's not a lot, really, here's what I wanted to talk about. And maybe this has all been resolved by now, but we were talking about this early on. So there's this freak who I thought we were done talking about, John Mark Carrs, the guy that said he killed JonBenet, and then we all said, no, you didn't, and he went, well, okay. And then they let him go, and then they shipped him off to California, where they were going to try to put him in jail for kiddie porn charges. Now, is it true that, am I reading this right, that they've now just lost the laptop that he had?
Well, yeah, but they haven't lost the evidence. I mean, it was saved to another hard
drive. Oh, so they backed it up. They did back it up. All right.
But they're offering him a plea deal right now. The effort here is really to get him to register as a sex offender. And, you know, if they go through a trial and if for some strange reason the defense does this bang-up job where there's a hung jury or whatever so he doesn't get convicted, then he doesn't register as a sex offender. So what they're trying to do is they'll drop three charges. You know, we'll charge you with two. Time off for their time served will count, probation, and you register as a sex offender. I think that's what their goal is.
And what is the upshot of registering as a sex offender?
Well, because
in California?
The laws at that point were the next offense, automatic 25 years to life.
Oh, is that the deal? So it's like a sudden death kind of hanging over.
Yeah, it makes it a one shot crime. It's a one strike crime.
Excellent. Because the thing is here, and there's a lot of controversy, as our British friends say, in Oregon, that we have this sex offender website, and by the way, there are 12 within a mile of my home, where you can type in your address, find out who's there. The thing here is there's all of this sort of scandal because it gives. You go and you type in your home address, and it tells you all the sex offenders within a mile of you, names, addresses, crimes, M.O., all the stuff. And there's a whole lot of sort of, you know, people think it's just a matter of time until some Charles Bronson guy just starts to go out and caps these guys one by one.
Well, I think that is more of a remote possibility than that sex offender being a recidivist. So, you know, that argument really doesn't hold water for those people. Those are your ACLU folks.
Yeah, well, trust me, I'm not saying that I really care one way or the other. I mean, and that's one of those things where, again, it works itself out one way or the other, I think. It all sort of resolves itself.
Yeah, I like knowing down the street there's a guy that I need to watch out for.
Well, that's one of those things where it's like, did I prefer not knowing or do I prefer knowing? And that's... You know, it is one of those things where I don't own a gun, but it's one of those things where you look at that sex offender website, and then there are moments when you think maybe
it's make a trip
not
to Kmart.
Yeah, maybe it's not. Maybe I should hit Target on the way home, so to speak.
I got kids, and one of them's a 13-year-old girl. So
well, we have this guy, the film critic, who comes on the show. He found out that he walks his 4-year-old to preschool or whatever day, literally. Between his house and a preschool, which is like half a mile away, he has to walk right by the front porches of two sex offenders, two different houses.
See, in this state, they're not allowed to live within some like 2,000 feet or 2,000 yards of a school.
Yeah, we have no such regulations here. So a whole lot of them are in my neighborhood and Sarah's neighborhood, and a whole lot of them are right by daycare centers.
I think they're going up there from here.
Yeah, tax dollars at work, my friends. So, all right. And just as a side note here, because somebody, we have this hilarious, I don't have it here, but this hilarious ad yesterday where there was some like Nature's or Good Seasons or one of these sort of hippie trippy food stores up here with a huge sale on all their spinach yesterday.
You're kidding.
No, I swear to God, we read it right here in the air yesterday. It was like big bags of spinach, special blowout sale, 49 cents. I mean, it's ludicrous.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I mean, I guess waste not, want not.
The investigators here went around the other day. And they went to 50 mom-and-pop little grocery stores, and they found 16 of them are still selling the fresh spinach. You know, mom-and-pop doesn't want to take that stuff off the shelf. Sure. They can't recoup that money.
I think the phrase calculated risk comes to mind.
Yeah, you know.
So there you go. You can sell, you know, this way your average spinach sandwich now becomes sort of an adventure meal.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
You got to ask for a canned spinach salad when you go to your restaurant.
Yeah, it becomes like a fear factor kind of a thing.
There you go.
All right, Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Enjoy the rest of your Southern California day, my brother.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. All right, Scotty J.
Oh, are we back?
I don't even remember what we were talking about.
It's amusing to me that he has been dragging his ass around all day, and now he's pretending that everything's totally fine.
Oh, yeah. I feel great.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever
incredible.
You say. Look, and I...
So was Mrs. J speaking to you this morning?
Yeah.
Is this because of what you said about that waitress last night?
No.
Okay. All right. Moving forward. Not that it was inappropriate in any way.
There's not like saying something like, you want me to play daddy for you.
Oh, yeah, you know, who said that?
That was you, you bastard. I got it right here. Let me just, that's okay, we'll do this right here, and then we'll do the Emersonia stuff during the second half of the hour. I'll just go through these Dante's observations. These are notes that I made to myself in no particular order last night. I'm just going to read these. Scotty J, 8:47 p.m., says, quote, do you want me to play daddy for you? Now, here's the thing. I thought he was saying it to Delaine. It's even weirder that he would say it to you. Like, I don't know what that's all
he
about.
He was joking. Yeah, and that Scotty J, we were...
But he had, like, a weird tone of it. Delaine verified this, by the way, that you had a weird tone of voice when you said it was sort of like a Leonard Cohen, like, do you want me to play daddy for you?
Well,
a,
here's what it really was. We were talking about age, and she said, Scotty's old enough to be my father. And that's right where I came up with the witty comeback
of,
do you need me to...
to what, Scotty?
To be your daddy. Or
that's
something like
not
that.
What you said.
That's
what you said,
said
was, no, I wrote it down.
Would you like
to? Do you want me to play daddy for you? All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? Who said? Oh, this is from Storm. This is a class. Storm said this on stage last night, 9:52 p.m. Storm says, quote, I would F J. We'd, as somebody had asked her which of the supernova guys she would sleep with if she had to. She said, quote, I would F Jason Newsted. ... because he's a nerd, and of course, which is fantastic because they had all these index cards.
Do you have what she said about Tommy Lee?
I know I had that. That's coming up. These are in no particular order. You look so gay and pretty. I don't even know what that means.
I said that. I said last night you looked gay.
Oh yeah, you know you. This is a weird moment towards the end of the night when here's me. Okay, so I.
You totally got femmy the more you hung out with Byron.
But it has nothing. You were like saying, this is Sarah Lesson. Rick, have you put on some blush? Which sounds bizarre. So Sarah and I went on stage to introduce Storm. And so we went up and we're like, ladies and gentlemen, Storm Large. And so we introduced Storm. And then obviously, you know, it's not like the Rick and Sarah show. It's all about Storm. So we're like, you know, we go back and we sit back down in the car. I go back. My chair is gone. My chair has been taken by, God, what's his guts? David, I think, took it. But there was no chair for me by the time. There was no room at the inn. So by the time I got back to our table, there was Scotty.
Scotty had a chair.
Scotty, Delaine, Kiki, you know, David, all those guys. There was no chair for me, so I ended up just kneeling. And then you and Delaine at some point end up standing behind me while I'm sort of kneeling there, just sort of by the table, just sort of watching Storm do her thing. And then Sarah just starts going, Rick, you suddenly look all gay and pretty. Are you wearing a lot of makeup?
As soon as you spent some quality time with Byron, you softened a bit.
I saw it was the softer side
you had a
of
soft
Rick.
Glow.
Let's see.
There was a push-up comment in there by Storm. Remember?
There was because people had written all these comments for or these questions for Storm on 3x5 cards, and so many of them ended with like "P.S. Make Rick." It was like the new F Matt. It was like "P.S. Make Rick do a push-up." Okay, here's what we have. This is Storm's best comment of the night. Because somebody had asked her, it's the marry F killed thing where they give you like Gilby, Tommy, and Jason, and so you got to marry one, sleep with one, kill one. What would you? And so, and she said that she would sleep with Jason Newsted, and of course everybody's like, but what about the Tommy's huge unit? And then Storm says, well, look, Pamela Anderson is a really tiny woman with really big boobs, and then ... If you lay a hot dog on a wheat thin, it's going to look big. And that was like the best. I don't know whether she'd prepared that. I don't know whether that was like a comment that she just scripted in her head. That was the best thing we heard all night. Let's see. Byron, bubble butt. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know why.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know why I wrote that down.
You were writing, okay, so you're sitting here getting all happy about me saying that you seemed gay, and you're writing about Byron's bubble butt.
I don't even know what it means, and it's in quotes. I have no idea why I even wrote that down.
Did somebody say it? Or?
Who knows? Here's the thing. And so we talked so much about Byron Beck, who, as Sarah believes that he has some sort of special love for me.
Oh, do you remember that horrible thing that we can't say on the air that Byron was saying about the butt and the...
I think that's what this is in reference to. But here's the thing.
Things that come out of that guy's mouth.
Seriously, I think it's that... I'm not saying that Byron doesn't sort of come up and sort of try to be uncomfortably close to me sometimes, but I don't think it's about me. Like, if I wasn't around, I think it would be somebody else. I think it's that I happen to be there a lot of the time. And so, like, I'm there, and so Byron just sort of comes up and just sort of, he's sort of a sidler, just sort of sidles up next to me. Mm-hmm. But you missed the most horrifying moment of last night, though. You weren't around for this, which is when Byron introduced me to Penny Trumbull, who is better known as Penny Lane. She was, you know, the real-life Penny Lane that they modeled Penny Lane on in Almost Famous, and Kate Hudson played her in the Cameron Crowe film. And I've been in the same room as her a whole bunch of times, and I think I met her once, like 5 seconds, you know, like 2 years ago. But she just, see, even now, like as bad as dorky as I normally am around women, it's like I was 1,000 times worse around her last night. And so Byron's like, hey, do you want to meet Penny Trumbull? You know, she's Penny Lane. And I'm like, well, I don't want to, you know, because she's, you know, a legend. She's famous and she's, you know, she's all hot. And I just got so jittery and nervous. And it's like, and it's not, again, not like I'm really functioning well in public most of the time anyway. And it's that thing before I could even say anything. Like Byron grabs me by the arm and he's like, and he takes me and he shoves me like right in front of her. And he's like, Penny, this is Rick Emerson. He's fantastic. Talk to him. And Penny's like, you know, she shakes my hand. She's like, oh, hi, how you doing? And I just bombed. So it's not like I even said anything dumb. Like I didn't do the, oh, you're Penny Lane. You know, I didn't do that. I just sort of like was like, you're hi. You know, and she said, well, how are you? I hear good things about your radio program or whatever. And I just go, thanks. Hi. You know, and I just stammered and just and then this is how bad I was. And then she walks away. And this is why we've talked on the show before, like about Sarah meeting Bob Dylan. About there's just certain people you don't want to meet because you know you're just going to F it up. You're just, and that was me, just a rolling, huge, spiraling, flaming abortion of an introduction. It was just a huge disaster in every way. This is how bad it was. Meeting Penny last night was so awkward and terrible for me, and I just was so completely marble-mouthed around her that Byron actually came and found me again later with her. He brought her around like a second pass, like when an airline tries to land at O'Hare, and they can't quite make it, so they got to like circle back around the landing field and try a second approach. He actually brought Penny by about half an hour later to try to talk to me again, and she's, you know, and he's like, Rick, so, you know, Penny wants to talk to you again, and he kind of puts her in front of me, and she goes, so, how are things? And I'm just going to go, I like things. And then I just started to weep. And I just started to cry. Oh, God.
Yeah, same
twice
thing.
In a row. Huge implosion.
Same thing happened to me on my honeymoon. I was in Reno. No, I got to tell you this.
How long have you been married, Scotty J?
A touch of class.
12 years. And I was in Reno, and I was checking into the Hilton Hotel, and it was, like, late at night, and so there was nobody in the lobby. And I'm standing in line waiting for the desk guys to wave me to come up.
Right.
And I turn around, and standing right behind me is Robin Williams and his wife. And I wanted to say something, but I was just like, you know, nothing came out of my mouth at all.
Starstruck by the magic of Robin Williams.
Yeah, it was strange.
That's what happened to me when I chased Michael Ian Black down the street and into Starbucks. I had nothing clever to say.
Yeah, but see,
I knew what I wanted to do, the nanu thing, but I'm glad I didn't.
Jesus. Yeah, but you pulled it off with Michael Ian Black.
We wrote back and forth to each other a few times.
Yeah, see, and that's not. See, and Penny's just going to remember me as, oh, yeah, that guy that. How did he get a radio show? He couldn't even talk. That's what she's going to think. He couldn't even put sentences together. He wasn't funny or charming in any way. Normally, I can try to, you know, get my A game together, but it was like my Q game with her. It was so bad.
I didn't recognize her because she's lost a lot of weight. Yeah. She's really good.
So beautiful. And I just bombed it spectacularly. But it all led up to this, by the way. I'm looking at this here. We mentioned yesterday. I don't even know how we got to this. But I somehow broached the idea yesterday. Oh, because we were noting that Scotty J has perfect hair. And I noted that in many ways, I'm just saying that we said that I think you would make a good gay man because you've got the perfect hair, the Ken doll hair. You look, you know, you're very young for, you look looking for your age and so forth. And I think Sarah made the observation that you would look good as, was it the construction worker?
Yeah, I said construction worker. You said the motorcycle.
The village people.
Oh, I know where this is
and
going.
And so we have this photo that's been created. And Sarah, maybe you can, if you could just sort of take a look at, let me just, so they go, this is the, somebody is, I'm going to post this right now. And it's posted.
I did not believe somebody would take the time to do that.
I'm posting this right now.
Is brilliant.
To rickemerson.com. So give it about 10 seconds. And then everybody go to rickemerson.com. There really is the best photograph now that's ever existed. Scotty J. It is posting right now.
I don't even look like that anymore, so it's hilarious.
No, and here's the thing. And I mentioned to you last night that this photograph existed. I'm like, yeah, they've taken you. It's a photograph where every one of the Village People is Scotty J. They have morphed Scotty J. into every one of the Village People. And I mentioned this last night. I'm like, oh, we got this photograph of you with the Village People. And this is Scotty. You were so drunk last night that he leans forward and he whispers into my ear. He goes, you really shouldn't put that photo up. And I said, why? The Village People photo? Why not? And he goes, this is what Scotty says to me last night. He goes, you don't know what it's like to be all over the internet wearing a sombrero and a thong.
That's true.
Let's click on this photo now. Go to rickemerson.com. Oh, it's genius. It's so great. This is the best photograph I've ever seen. Oh, it's at rickemerson.com right now. This is
That's horrible.
Scotty J. is all the Village People.
Starring in the Village People. All of them.
Scotty J.
That is.
I got him Logan.
Unbelievable.
That's really good. You know, I must say, that looks real.
It really is gold.
It is. Scotty J. and his six brothers.
Oh. So there you go. That's photograph of the day right there. All right. Thank you, Scotty J.
All right, thank you.
All right, there you go. All right, Scotty J., ladies and gentlemen. I don't think there's any other notes. I mean, everything is just... Everything after that would just be... No, I don't want to say anything. I'm going to say anything that's get anybody into trouble. I don't want to get anybody into...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Not that you meant with Scotty J.
No, I shouldn't say anything else. It would be improper of me to say anything. The rest of what happened at Dante's will stay at Dante's. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's take a break. We come back. Encyclopedia Emersonia. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We may not get it all done today, but we're going to get a start on it. So if you have a question, an observation, something you've never understood about the Rick Emerson Show, phrase we use, an inside joke you don't get, a slogan, a reference, some sort of comment, a word, something you want explained, you don't know the origin of it, you don't know what we mean when we're talking about it, this is the time to call. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We update the encyclopedia when we get back. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Thank you. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Rick, this email says, let's take a look at, Scott, this is written all kinds of weird. Rick, let's step back a minute and take a look at Scotty J. He's consuming high quantities of high alcoholic beverages in a very short amount of time. He's wearing silky shirts with a medallion nestled in his thatch of chest hair. He's hitting on hot young co-eds with a great, i.e. cheesy line. He shows up home extra late and loaded and gets in a spat with his significant other. He rolls into work hungover and then mysteriously feels great later. I'm guessing he's got a nearly empty bottle of Jack hidden in a desk drawer. Scotty J. is fully qualified to do three things. Strip club DJ, extra on The Sopranos, or zany radio DJ. Well chosen, Scotty. Well chosen, says this email. Fantastic. Rick, Scotty as all the Village People is brilliant. It really is brilliant. What makes the photo is the mouth that's just hanging open creepily. It's like, why is his mouth open that way? Like, what? What is he doing or saying or accomplishing with the mouth that is open?
You can tell he was caught off guard. Remember, he's just standing in his underwear in a room.
They're not really underwear so much as they are panties almost. I mean, there really is like a Speedo.
Were they panties?
Not panties, but I mean panty-like. They're panty-esque. All right. Let's see. And finally, let's see. Where did this email go? I'm lost. It's in the pile of Emersonia stuff. Something about it being injured while looking at the... Rick, I'm here at work doing an insurance quote for a new client, and I started laughing so hard after I popped at your webpage that hot steaming coffee shot out of my nostrils. Can I sue McDonald's for this? I'm drinking their coffee, and there's no warning on the lid. Pleased to be labeling your photos in the future. Yeah, the Scotty J... Is that our MySpace photo now?
It is.
Fantastic. There you go. So, Logan, you are to be congratulated. That's a fantastic photo. let's see. Let's get Ted, the delivery driver. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hi. How are you, sir?
I love you.
Thank you.
I listen to you a lot. You make my day better.
Well, thank you, sir.
I very rarely have an original thought. It's not a very good thought, but Britney Spears, she's named her children, both of them with the same initials.
Yes.
SPF. SPF 1, SPF 2.
I never thought about that. That really is true.
Anyway.
Hold on. That I really should, with the... There you go. Well done. All right, thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Let me get a couple of these. So I've gotten all of these. We answered a couple of the Emersonian things already. Yesterday, people asked what the Z was about when we go Z and play that. We answered that. Somebody today, Dave, asked about the X and Sarah X Dillon. Here's one. I've gotten, many emails about this from the last day or two. Rick, please explain the phrase, welcome to day 12. I've listened for years. Inquiring minds want to know. It seems like you frequently say this at the top of the show. What does welcome to day 12 mean? Welcome to day 12. And I'm not sure why I started saying it or where it came from.
It goes back to your days in the Kingdom of Nine.
What?
Oh, I was thinking of something else.
What are you thinking of?
I was thinking of Kingdom of Nine, but that goes with a different program.
No, that's, because I'll sometimes do that, too. I'll say, like, call on the wild card line, which is in our building. Welcome to Day 12 comes from The 12 Days of Christmas by Bob and Doug McKenzie, which, as a rock DJ, I had to play constantly I swear to God, like KGON, I'll be playing it like 100 times a week as soon as Thanksgiving is over. There's The 12 Days of Christmas by Bob and Doug McKenzie, which is pretty funny. I mean, it might even be funny to me again because I haven't had to hear it in many years. I mean, it's been probably a decade since I've really sat and listened to it all the way through. It's like that horrible Santa Claus and His Old Lady thing by Cheech and Chong. It was funny the first couple times I heard it, and then I had to play it every 90 minutes all the way through Christmas on every rock station I ever worked at. It's like that John and Yoko Christmas song, too, where it's like, I just need a moratorium on that for like 25 years to enjoy it again. But there is this Bob and Doug McKenzie bit. The 12 Days of Christmas, which was really great. And they're doing all the Canadian versions of, like, you know, 3 magic toques and 2 pounds of Canadian bacon or whatever it is and 2 blah, 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 blah. But the point of the bit is that they get all the way through the song and they're just making a complete and total disaster of the 12 Days of Christmas. And when they work their way up to on the 11th day of, you know, on the 10th day of, on the whatever. And when they get to 12, they just say, and here we are, and welcome to day 12. And I don't know why that became part of the things I've been doing. There's really no even rhyme or reason to it. I've actually, when people started asking about it the other day, I realized I didn't know. But I don't know, like once or twice a week, at the top of the year, we'll say, you know, here it is Thursday, and welcome to day 12. And I don't know, it must have just been at some Christmas years ago, I must have just said it once, and then it just became a thing that I started saying sporadically. We got another one. This is very similar. This says, Rick, where did it go? Rick, please to explain why you say 6 randomly sometimes. 6 comes from, and that's the thing we don't do very much anymore, but occasionally when something goes wrong in the program, you'll hear a mistake, you'll hear a technical error, a soundbite will fire incorrectly, we'll go to play one type of audio and it's actually something else altogether, and one of us will sort of pause and go, 6. And that comes, correct me if I'm wrong here, from when we first moved over to the Entercom building. But I don't know where it came from. Why did we start saying 6, though?
Matt was running the board, and like none of us had really run that board before, and he kept hitting the wrong thing, and there was like a 6 attached to one of the things that he kept accidentally playing.
So it was like
just a random, like, ghostly 6 that came out of nowhere.
It was a soundbite that... Did it play all the time or something? It must have.
Tim would remember. Do you remember?
Why do we say 6 sometimes? Why do we say 6 whenever there's a mistake on the show?
I think to many of the things that we had to play out of that machine, it started with 6. It was on a recording. It was a recording of 6, and for some reason the number of 6 got tagged onto everything we were playing.
So it was like it was a production mistake or something. Well, there you go. Yeah. So that's not really a definitive...
Or an operator error.
That's not really a definitive answer. Maybe this updating of the encyclopedia isn't really going to be... If it's not going to maybe answer as many questions as ideally it should. And speaking of that, I might as well answer that one before we go to the Ministry of Truth here. We got another one that I've got, and I have to put this on the website because we get asked this all the time. People say, what happened to F. Matt Peterson? So we were over at Entercom, And then Matt got promoted to the production department, and he was the production, which we now relentlessly criticize. Matt got promoted to the production department and basically just sat in front of a computer all day and tried to find, like, you know, Vince Vaughn sound effects to shove into station imaging to make it sound edgy. That became his job. And he is now producing for one of the morning shows up there. He's producing for Mike and Amy in the morning. So that's his gig. So that is where Matt, of course, his whole career, as I think he would be the first to admit, is just a blessed accident of failing upwards. That's really what Matt Peterson is all about. God love him. Oh, wait, here we go. Dennis? Hey, Dennis, do you know where the six thing came from?
I remember the six thing was when the board was misfiring, there was like this weird, eerie voice that was actually recorded saying the word six. And for some reason, I remember someone, I think it was Matt, who found it, and then he would just play it randomly whenever there was something went wrong.
So it was one of those things that actually became a running joke. We did find it at one point then.
Yeah, I remember you guys used to play it once in a while. Something, you know, a commercial got played in the wrong time slot or something like that. But I remember specifically you found it, and then at some point it was in the rotator where you guys would play it every once in a while when something went wrong, or it was almost as if the McCarthy lap, you know, or it was just something where someone said something stupid, you would just pull it out of somewhere.
So it was one of our repeating sound effects. All right, cool. Thank you, sir.
All right, sir.
Excellent. There you go, that's Dennis. Pablo, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, how's it going, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, how come you don't play the man song anymore?
I think, and I think Sarah can back me up on this, I think it's we started playing the man song, which we love, don't get me wrong. We love the man song, we love Trey Parker, South Park, all that. But the man song started as sort of, because when we moved from Fisher to Entercom, and they re-imaged the station as they were, so they gave us a new name and all that, and we were Max 910 and whatever, and just the imaging on that station was so retarded. Because it was all, I was riffing on this today, we were talking about how it was trying so hard to be macho. Like, that station was trying so, and there is such a thing as trying too hard, and that station was trying way too hard to be a guy talk station. And, you know, not all, but I mean, really the bulk of the guys who, people who listen to that, a lot of them are guys. I mean, it is a lot of guys in the audience. There's a lot of women, too, but it's, you know, it was a station that targeted a lot of guys. But they just did it in like the most retarded, ham-handed way possible. And the production was all like, my wife talked back to me, so I dumped her and then buried her in a ditch. You know, and it was just it's stupid.
Max 910.
Yeah, Max 910. And so the man song was a little bit of our way of kind of making fun of how stupid that was. Because I wasn't the program director. None of us had any real power at the station. So we just had to suck it up and just eat this terrible production every day. And the man song was kind of our way of pointing out how dumb it was. So that's why we don't play it now, because it's just it was.
Well, we played it a few days ago.
Yeah, I mean, we played sporadically, but we don't open the show with it every day because it's thankfully we're at a station now that isn't completely and terribly mismanaged in every way.
Right on.
So there you go, brother.
Thanks, bro.
All right, thank you. That's Pablo. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now go to the man you're really here to hear.
Oh, that was a good one.
Shut your mouth. It's Tim Riley.
Fumble.
And now, six. From the Ministry of Truth, is Tim Riley.
A Roseburg teen, Ronnie Moore, crashes and breaks her leg. She's 16 years old.
It's an exciting day.
Christina Burkhart is nursing a broken leg after she crossed a lawnmower into a parked van. This is one of those riding mowers. They didn't say why she was driving on a public street. She was trying to negotiate a right turn and wound up striking a van. Apparently, the steering mechanism of the 1971 lawnmower had been altered only to make left turns.
What the hell is that? Why would you do that?
I have no idea.
Let's make this car so it can only go reverse and 80 miles an hour.
It was the first time driving it, and that's what happened.
That's stupid.
Okay, it is, but it's Roseburg.
It really is. That's stupid.
Somebody sat around, planned it, and executed it.
You know, the problem with this lawnmower is you can turn both directions. Let's get rid of that functionality. All right.
Well, when Hugo Chavez was visiting Harlem today and made more comments that we already heard today, he has pledged to help low-income families in New York purchase deeply discounted oil from his country.
Well, that's crazy talk.
I know.
I won't have it.
Thailand's military...
Why does he hate America?
I don't know.
Okay.
Thailand's military crew has interrupted the filming of Nicolas Cage's new movie being shot in Bangkok. Cage is preparing to leave on a private jet to get out of the country. The name of his film is Bangkok Dangerous.
What?
Okay. Super happy, fun, smiley wish.
Didn't he marry a small Asian woman, too?
That was our film.
I was just going to say. I don't know.
Yes.
Sure.
The Office of National Drug Control Policy has recently posted a dozen public service announcements on YouTube for the kids. The problem is the kids aren't watching. Uncle Sam has put out several of these videos. They star Pee Wee Herman. I want you to know that crack is whack. He shot the 30-second spot as part of his plea deal stemming from his infamous indecent exposure arrest in 1992.
Wait, but are these from like 15 years ago?
No, these are new.
God, that guy's like 80. Still having to put on the little red bow tie and the makeup. That's just sad.
There were 12 PSAs in all.
You know, if you wait long enough, you'll be able to see him. You'll be able to make him do anything you want for a quarter. If you just give it like another year or so. All right. Let's get the, let me get this. James, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey,
sir.
Rick.
Hey, what's up?
I was wondering, you know the birthday song?
Yes. Only happy effing birthday.
Yes. What happened to that?
That's a good question, actually. Happy Effing Birthday, which is a song that was given to us by the Muddy River Nightmare Band. God love them. Lyle, specifically. We used to play that all the time, and the thing is, everybody asked us for it, everybody wanted a copy, and we were really careful not to leave it laying around, because we knew it would be one of those things that immediately everybody would start playing. Everybody, it would suddenly appear on every, like, hack radio show on Earth. And so when we moved out of the Intercom building, you know, the thing where they go through and they erase your hard drives and they whatever. But somewhere, this is a very sad story, somewhere in the move between Intercom and then, like, unemployment and here, it vanished. And I cannot find I had two copies of it. One digital, you know, like one on CD, and then one was an MP3 on my hard drive, and I cannot find them for the life of me. So it's a very sad story, actually.
Well, that is a huge missing part of the show.
It is. No,
you know, I miss hearing that song.
I miss playing it. In fact, I asked Lyle in the Muddy River Nightmare, but I said, I'm like, brother, you were the one who hooked us up with it. You got to help a brother out. And he my bank is like, dude, I can't find my copy of it. So now our copy is gone. Lyle's copy is gone. So if anybody out there, if you have a copy of the Happy Effing Birthday song, you hook a brother up. We'll make it worth your while. We'll let you wet your beak. We'll make it worth your while. Because ours have vanished. Both of my copies, which I treasured like they were newborn babies, are gone. I don't know where they went to. So out there somewhere. Homeless guys got it.
Well, that sucks.
There you go. I didn't say updating the encyclopedia would be a happy process, James. But we will give you the answers here.
Oh, hey, how about this? Whatever happened to Rock Chick Katie?
Rock Chick Katie. Rock Chick Katie, who was the first Portland producer of this show. This is another one of those long, hideous things, but when we started doing the hideous syndicated version of this show, the terrible national version.
I was there.
The guy who syndicated my show made the decision that she was not to be part of it. And I'll totally take the bullet on this. And I was just too spineless to stand up to him about it. And he's like, "That Katie, she's got to go." And I'm like, "Okay." And I was just a big sissy about it. And I was just totally not man enough to stand up and defend her. And it turns out that she didn't really want to do it anyway. And she wanted to stay in music radio. And so she ended up moving to L.A. And the last I heard, she was doing a syndicated adult contemporary format via satellite on a whole bunch of stations. So her voice was kind of, she's all over the country. She's apparently a very popular adult contemporary DJ these days.
Well, you know, I guess we did get Clyde and all those Harry.
Yeah, that's the thing is, I mean, that's the wash. That's the good thing is that she went away, but that's what brought Clyde to Portland. So it's like a, you know, so it ended up being the best thing, I think, for everybody. So there you go, James.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. There you go. We got a break. We'll come back. Around the corner, we got Marty. We got, is this Bruce? We have our former godlike program director, Bruce Agler, will join us briefly. I may try to get the Weird Al song. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Yeah, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. Answering questions to update the Encyclopedia Emersonia. We're in the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Rick, I have always been curious, what is your beef with Family Guy? I know it's a show that's either loved or hated. I mean, I don't really hate it, I just don't find it all that funny. I have no problem with the family. Watch it, don't watch it, I don't care.
I think it's really funny.
I it's not that it's not even funny. It's just, I don't know. It's a little too disjointed for me. And I think it's because, and I know that I'm like the most disjointed guy on earth, but I think it's a little too, it's a little too scattershot for me. And I think I've kind of been spoiled by Futurama, which has more of a through line to it. So, I mean, and, you know, I'll say funny, like Seth MacFarlane, the guy who does it's a funny guy. I like Seth MacFarlane a lot. Family Guy itself is, I mean, again, it's not like I sit around thinking about how much I hate it. I'm just not much of a fan. Rick. Pleased to be explaining where the phrase "pleased to be explaining" came from. It comes from the comic book guy via Don and Mike. So "pleased to be explaining" is originally was done by the comic book guy on The Simpsons, and the comic book guy gave us so much. He gave us the worst episode ever, and he gave us the "pleased to note." And "pleased to note" is where all of that comes from. So comic book guy, whenever he would point something out, he would say, "Pleased to note, my Xena figurine is still in the original packaging." And so "pleased to note" came "pleased to, like, whatever," followed by whatever. And Don Geronimo says "pleased to be blah, 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 blah" a lot. And I know that's our show was next to Don and Mike for a long time, and it's kind of like putting bread next to an onion in the refrigerator. Pretty soon everything tastes like onion. So we were next to Don and Mike for a long time, and so all of those phrases kind of leech their way into our show. Don and Mike tonight at 7, by the way. Let's get one more email here. Rick, about the Genesis of 6. The original sound snippet would fire at random due to the unfamiliarity of the new board you were using. However, the 6 sound was the tail end of a phone number that your old KOTK female voice person recited for a commercial. A glitch would cause only the tail end of the full recording to fire at random. So it was something that Roberta had said. All right, so that's where they came. Let's quickly do these two, and then we'll be finished here. Marty, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey there, I got a question for you.
Yes.
The Jock Watch theme. Who does that, and how can I get a copy of it?
Sarah?
The punk group does that. And I know they have a MySpace page. They're a local group, and they play around town all the time.
They're called the punk group. They're like the Devo kind of a thing.
Yeah, they do. Oh, they have so many. They have a song about MySpace. They have a song called Fat Girls on Bicycles.
Just look up the punk group on MySpace.
Yep.
I'll be able to
look up the punk group, or else go to their website. I know that they have their CDs for sale.
And if you have trouble searching the phrase "the punk group," you might search like within the Mercury or Willamette or something.
There you go. Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, there you go. All right, and let me see if I can find the appropriate. Running up real short on time here. What the hell is today?
Thursday.
All right, wait. Let me.
K-O-T-K.
Welcome, Bruce Agler, former Godlike Program Director. Hello, sir.
Calling you from the beach today.
Life is hard.
Actually, I should have just hung up because somebody gave you the pretty close to the definitive answer on 6. I was going to spell it out, but that last guy was pretty close. It was the final digit of the fax number.
Jesus Christ.
And it was from the liner where Roberta would come back into your show saying, "To fax Rick," you know, and she would give the numbers, and the last number was 6.
God, what a long time ago that was that we were telling people to fax us stuff.
And when you moved from the Fisher studio to the Entercom studio, but while you were still on 1080, and therefore still running those liners, something in the intercom system would cause only that digit 6 to play when you played almost anything else. I mean, just at any other time, you'd play some other liner, commercial, anything.
It was the weirdest thing, too.
And then you'd hear Roberta go about 2 seconds after whatever you were playing, it would stop, it would go 6.
I do remember, it's all very hazy, but it was like a ghostly thing. It would just play for no reason.
And they were never able to solve the problem until you became Max 910 and erased all of the production, the other production, and in the process that eliminated the problem.
Yeah, they had to burn down the whole place that they were basically.
But I wanted to say something else. You might reconsider your endorsement for Chavez in 2008 if you read his platform a little closer. One of the things he said yesterday was that if he was in charge, he would make Americans stop wasting their time watching things like Superman and Batman and instead spend all their time reading Noam Chomsky.
Reading about our glorious leader.
Yeah, he was even waving around Noam Chomsky's book, saying, "I wish I could have met this guy." Of course, Noam Chomsky is still alive. But
All right. Thank you, sir. All right, Bruce Agler, ladies and gentlemen.
K-O-T-K.
Welcome now.
The postman is the person in your neighborhood.
I know I didn't get to the goddamn Weird Al song. Hello, Mailman Chris.
No, I'm going to give you that one because you didn't tease that. I actually mentioned it, but you didn't tease it.
Right, I'll play it tomorrow. Yeah.
So, but you did tease. You got the Sky J photo, Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, Gary Baumgarten, and the Britney watch. We didn't get the Whitney watch. We didn't get the Cannibal Watch, and I guess the
We did get the Cannibal Watch. That was about Hannibal Lecter. That was that new book, you bastard.
Was that the actual Cannibal Watch?
Wait, we played the theme song. What more do you want from my life?
Okay,
You can't listen every second.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got to deliver the mail. I forget sometimes.
Actually, I lost my radio for like 20 minutes today, but the entire time you guys were talking about Hugo Chavez. So
it's kind of a wash. All right.
And I guess the world will never, ever know what the vintage Tim Riley sound is, because it's like the third day in a row you have.
I know. And I'm looking at it right here. It's sitting right here, and I just don't have that. There's not enough time. Not enough time.
So we'll add 2 and put you at 63.
God damn. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you. There's mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. All right. And so forth. Oh, by the way, Scott, you tired?
Yeah.
Are you suddenly fatigued? Yeah. You were all full of life for the first half of this show, and then you just sort of wilted like a flower.
I know. Because I get hungry every few hours.
You know, you can bring food now.
I did bring food, but I eat it
they
all
have bags.
At like noon.
Okay. You could bring more.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, there's no rule
against
it.
I can only afford so much food.
Oh. That's sad. Okay, I have no response to that.
I know.
All right, let's see. Scotty wanted me to point this out, by the way. On page C-13, today's Oregonian. Positions available. If you're unemployed, positions available. Delivery driver. Meat. Immediate opening for meat delivery driver. Must have good driving record. Some heavy lifting required. So there you go. So go to a page C-13, Oregonian. Deliver some meat. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Lisa Goddard, Gary Baumgarten, Jim Roop. Coming up tomorrow, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Rick Emerson show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM970 Solid State Radio. Tim Riley in the newsroom. And, of course, Scotty J. So much more than an intern. Dave Zinn, manager of the Rick Emerson office east. Like us next. Donna Mike at 7. John and Jeff at 11. Stephanie Miller tomorrow 6 to 10. We'll see y'all then. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.